ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायण नमस्कृत्यं नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जायमुदीरयेत्। नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवतीरुत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवती नैष्ठिकी। कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नंदनाय च नंदगोपकुमाराय गोविंदायो नमो नमः। ॐ अज्ञानतिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानञ्जनशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपकदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकम्। नम ॐ विष्णुपदाय कृष्णपृष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्त स्वामीनिति नामिने। नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषशून्यवादी पाश्चात्यदेशतारिणे। नमो महाबदन्याय कृष्णप्रेम प्रदायते कृष्णाय कृष्णचैतन्य नामने गौरद्विषे नमः। हे कृष्ण करुणा सिंधु दीनबंधु जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिका कांता श्रीराधा कांत नमस्तुते। तप्त कांचन गौरांगी श्रीराधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये। वंशकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद। हरे कृष्ण Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. I humbly welcome all of the assembled Vaishnavas here for the Sunday Feast program in Sri Sri Radha Gopinath Temple. Also, I'd like to humbly request senior Vaishnavas to shower their blessings so that I can glorify Krishna for my own purification and a service to devotees here. Today's topic that I discussed with His Grace Baladev Prabhu is Krishna partial? This question is something normally non-devotees like to discuss. But in even devotee assembly sometimes we discuss this because it gives us pleasure by both understanding how Krishna is partial as well as impartial. So the answer is yes, Krishna is partial, is also impartial. So, first I will discuss how Krishna is impartial. Because when we meet people outside and people normally discuss about controversial issues surrounding Krishna's personality, we have to maintain how Krishna is actually impartial. Then we will see how Krishna is partial also. So in Srimad Bhagavatam, in Bhagavad Gita, many places these topics keeps coming. But we'll take a verse from Srimad Bhagavatam, it's Canto 1, that is 8th chapter, titled Maharani Kunti's Prayers to Krishna. Kunti's Prayers to Krishna. So in that, she quotes a very nice verse, where she says, Navheda kaschid bhagavams chikirshitam tave hamanasya nirnam bidambanam nayasya kaschid daitosti karichid dvaisascha yasmin vishama matir nirnam. That because Lord Krishna appears like an ordinary human being and roams in this world, like His Grace Gaurangpur was telling a very nice point he was speaking today morning, that how Brahma's day is 4.2 billion years and night is also 4.2 billion years, total 8.4 billion years. And in 8.4 billion years, Krishna appears just once. And that way he performs, say, 100 years of pastimes, 120 years, of which Vrindavan pastime is only 10 years. Yeah, that's a very interesting point. But within that 100 years, whatever he does is something that is spoken and glorified throughout the entire rest of the 8.4 billion years, basically. So here, Kunti Maharani is saying that you appear like ordinary human being and does so many activities, and it appears that sometimes you favor someone and sometimes you have become an object of envy for others. But according to me, people only imagine that you are partial. So she was telling how Krishna, people in this world, they think that Krishna is partial. But actually you are not partial. You are impartial. This is speaking after what is happening. As you know, this Bhagavad Gita is spoken and there was the war and all the Kauravas eliminated. And then Aswatthama was let go by Draupadi. And then after everything is established, Yudhishthira Maharaj was enthroned as the king, emperor of the world. And after everything was established, Lord Krishna decided to leave for Dwarka. And as he was sitting on that chariot, Rath, then he saw Uttara suddenly approaching with a lot of tears in her eyes and he said, please save me from this Brahmastra. And actually the whole battle was over and everybody was actually unhappy because so many people were killed. There was no one whose relative was not killed. Everyone had someone dear who died in that battle. So everybody was upset, they were like morose and everything was, and on the top of that Krishna was living. So the Pandavas and these all the Kauravas, basically Kurus, they were very, very in a disheartened state. And that time this thing also happens. And then Kunti Maharani actually sees how Krishna protects the Pandavas and the child in the womb of Uttara. It is said this time Ashwatthama, he shoot 5 Brahmastra to the Pandavas, for each Pandava, and one for the Uttara's embryo. So because 5 Brahmastra at a time came towards the Pandavas, Arjuna could not counteract, because Arjuna could counteract only one Brahmastra at a time. So he was also confused. So they literally saw, and the Pandavas only could see the Brahmastras. Nobody else could see. So at that time, Krishna with his Sudarshan Chakra, he protected the Pandavas. And then he, from within the womb, he protected Abhimanyu, who was in the womb of the, Parikshit Maharaj, who was in the womb of Uttara. So, after seeing all these, about to Krishna, Krishna is leaving, and all these things are happening, so Kunti was thinking that Krishna is so great that he actually protected all of us in the last minute. And seeing Krishna's extraordinary activities, she was experiencing a kind of reverence in her heart. And spontaneously, some prayers she offered to Krishna. Basically to request him not to go. Because even at this stage, as soon as you start leaving, there are attacks on Pandavas. When you are here, still there are attacks on Pandavas. If you are in your absence, what can happen? Because we have met so many enemies. So in the very first verse, she is offering a very nice prayer by saying that Namasya Purusham Tadyam Ishwaram Prakritahe Param Alaksham Sarva Bhutanam Antarvahir Avastitam. That she saw actually how Krishna within the womb protected and from outside he protected the Pandavas. So therefore she is saying Alaksham Sarva Bhutanam Antarvahir Avastitam. And this is a perfect prayer to Lord Krishna. Srila Vaishnava Chakravarti Thakur actually explains this verse in a very nice way. Because while offering prayers to the Supreme Lord, we have to first accept Him as the Supreme Lord. I mean, He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Again and again Prabhupada says that. And in this particular verse, this fact that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead is very nicely established. Because Kunti was Krishna's aunt. And suddenly she is offering, he is saying Namaste Purusham, offering prayers, offering obeisances basically, Namaste. So then Krishna is a little, Chakravarti Thakurpal is saying, Krishna is a little surprised. He says, you are my aunt, why are you paying obeisance to me? Why are you saying Namaste? He said, because you are Purusham, you are the Personality of Godhead. He said, yes, I am a man, but there are so many other people who are also men. And he says, no. She says, no, you are Adi Purusham, Tvadyam, Adi word is there. Adi Purusham, that means you are the original Purusha. Then Krishna says, well, if the body goes off, then every entity, every spirit is basically Adi. They are always there without any beginning. All of us are without any beginning. This is, you are Ishwaram. You are Purusham, you are Adi Purusham, you are also Ishwaram. We are not controller, but He is controller. Then Krishna says, then there are Indra, Varuna, Vayu, all these demigods are there also Ishwaras. And he says, no, you are Prakritim Param, that you are beyond the modes, there within the modes. Then Krishna says, that means, am I the super soul? Then she says, no, you are Alaksham. Because super soul, by the practice of meditation, yoga, one can demand to see the super soul. By proper practice of yogic process, the super soul is bound to give darshan. But you are alaksham. You are not bound by any things. So then he says, am I the Brahman who cannot be seen, alaksham? And he says, no. Because you are within as well as without. That means you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In this way, from how Krishna is neither Jiva, Krishna is neither the body, Purusha, nor is the Jiva, living entity who is Adi, neither he is the demigods, nor is the super soul, nor he is Brahman, Parabrahman, but he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And it's a perfect prayer she is offering here. But what is happening to her is like she is seeing so many disasters happening and Krishna is favoring her, protecting the Pandavas, again and again. She is saying that how Devaki is not so much favored because Vasudeva was with him, because I am without husband, therefore you are always protecting him from series of dangers. And she is saying how many dangers have happened in her life. Many, many dangers, she is quoting one after other. And then finally she says that how, despite all this thing, you are actually impartial. Now, Srila Prabhupada, he explains why Krishna is impartial. Prabhupada gives a very nice analogy, that of a sun. Because when sunlight, like nowadays it is cloudy and it's a welcome rain after a summer. But in summer season we see the sun dazzles very nicely in the sky. So many lights, effulgence comes. And Prabhupada says that sometimes some stones, they take advantage of sunlight and they start, you know, sparkling like diamonds or some expensive jewels, even imitation jewels. They take the help of sun ray and started dazzling. And effulgence comes out of it. Some fluorescent substance, they take sunlight in the night, they give it back, effulgence. But there are other stones which cannot take advantage of it. Now, is sun partial? Like Kunti Maharani says, your alaksham, sarva bhutanam, subhagadidhan, she says, because maya javarnika channam, because you are covered by maya. Then one may say, is Krishna, can maya cover Krishna? That question may come. Can Krishna come under maya? The answer is no. Just like the clouds may cover the sun from our vision, but sun's power doesn't reduce by that. Sun is still the sun. It's only the cloud which is stopping our vision. Similarly, our receptivity or our anarthas stops the light to enter our heart, basically. So some stones take the advantage of sun, but other stones cannot take advantage of the stone, sunlight. Therefore they don't sparkle. So it is not the fault of the sun, but rather the stones. There is some problem with the stones. They are not polished or things like that. So diamond basically is charcoal, isn't it? It's just charcoal. So in the form of charcoal, it cannot show any dazzling, even if the sun is there. But in the charcoal undergoes a lot of pressure and temperature and all this, you know, we have studied in science. A lot of pressure and a lot of temperature, all these things are applied on the charcoal, then it becomes diamond. Then it sparkles in the sunlight. Similarly, our anarthas are like that. They don't allow us to, you know, bathe the love of Krishna consciousness and become happy. So, the tapasya is like that pressure and temperature that is applied on devotees. When one undergoes through that tapasya, then that charcoal-like heart becomes like diamond, then it shines in the love of Krishna consciousness. Krishna's love it can experience. So in this way, this sun is impartial. Now, darkness and light are two opposite conception, but does not mean that sun is partial in distributing its rays. Darkness is absent because of we have closed our eyes. Sometimes the owls, they close their eyes in the sun, during daytime they close their eyes, and for them there is no sun. But it is because of their foolishness. Similarly, thieves may not like the sunlight. Like His Holiness Radha Govind Maharaj was saying in one of his lectures, in Hindi he was saying, Chor ko chandini raat pasand nahi hai. Chandini raat. Everybody likes it. Nice moon sign, you know, lights. People likes to go around, sit there by riverside, but thieves don't like it because they will be caught. They like darkness. So by our own desires or our conditionings, own anarthas, we don't let the Krishna's mercy reach us. And Krishna's mercy is available to all. So therefore, it is the extent to which we approach the Lord, to that extent we get the mercy. Prabhupada says, there are some people, they come in contact with Krishna for some motivations. Like, he says, there are suffering people, suffering, but these are all pious people. Chaturvidha bhajante mam jana sukritena arjuna artha arthate jigyasu gyaniche bhartar sava. This sloka Krishna speaks in Gita, that unless one is pious, one cannot approach Krishna. There has to be some minimum qualification, some threshold, qualities required to approach to Krishna. The one type of people who never, not at all approach, they are like atheistic, completely atheistic. They can never approach Krishna. So therefore, such people will never obtain Krishna's mercy. They are like owls, basically. There are other pious people who approach Krishna, but for some, in time of suffering, artho, or jigyasu, some inquisitive, some they want to know something, they want to clarify some points, some philosophical points. And there are others who want to gain knowledge. They make contact with Krishna with certain purpose, and that purpose is fulfilled, they leave. They leave, go back to their own attachments. But devotees are not like that. They don't approach Krishna for any purpose. They want to serve Krishna without any motives. And they keep getting Krishna's mercy constantly. You are in touch with Krishna. It's like coming in touch with sun. So those who are completely against the service of the Lord are considered in the abject darkness. They are like atheistic people. But those who seek favor, and once the favor is received, they leave. And then those who are 100% engaged in service of the Lord are full recipients of the mercy of the Lord. So such partiality in receiving Lord's mercy is relative to the recipient. The recipient, however he has prepared himself, will receive the mercy accordingly. So, then in the battlefield of Kurukshetra, Prabhupada says, all those who died in front of Krishna also got his mercy. Because all those who died in battle of Kurukshetra, whether on the side of Pandavas, or whether on the side of Kauravas, Duryodhan basically. Because they had a contact with Krishna, they saw Krishna, the Shamsundar form, well, not the Shamsundar form, but he was beautiful. Shamsundar form only exhibited in Vrindavan, the most beautiful form of Krishna. But still Krishna was still beautiful, and they saw that beautiful form of Krishna. Looking at his face, they left their body. So all their sins were at once cleansed, and they attained liberation. So somehow or other, if one puts himself in the sun rays, then he will receive the heat as well as the ultraviolet rays, and all kind of, you know, skin problems can go, vitamin D will come, so many things are there. Similarly, if one exposes to Krishna, somewhere or other the mercy is there. In that sense, Krishna is impartial. But then how is he partial? Very simple. Krishna says in Gita, paritranaya sadhunam vinasyacha duskritam dharma sangsthapanarthaya sambhavami yuge yuge. That every age I come. But to do what? Paritranaya sadhunam. To liberate sadhus and vinasyacha duskritam. And to annihilate the miscreants. That means he is partial. To some people he kills, to others he delivers. Isn't it? It's partial. So, how to understand this? So, Prabhupada says, first of all, we should understand what is a sadhu. What is a sadhu refers to devotee, saintly persons. Sadhu has nothing to do with worldly honesty or dishonesty, morality or immorality. This is something we should understand. The so-called morality and immorality that is created in this world, in the social dealings, customs, is basically based on bodily concept of life. It's some kind of convenience, that's all. Some sets of codes and rules just to help us enjoy. But wherever there is enjoyment, there has to be some selfish, you know, vested interest. And there will be problems eventually. So why Prabhupada says, sadhu is referred to one who is on the transcendental platform. That means he is beyond this good and bad of this world. Like it is said in Bhagavad Gita, that mamcho abhyavicharena bhakti yogana sevate sagunan samatitetan brahma bhuyaya kalpate, that those who serve the Lord, abhyavicharena means without taking help of anything else other than Krishna. It's basically chastity, not looking for anything else anywhere else. That is called chastity. So just Krishna, serving Krishna with full faith and conviction. Such bhakti will help a person to transcend the modes of material nature. So if sadhus are referring to devotees, and if devotees are the one who have transcended the modes of material nature, then they are already delivered, isn't it? Because they have already transcended the modes of material nature because of their unalloyed service to Krishna. So therefore the sagunan samatritaitan, they have transcended the gunas, the modes of material nature. That means the sadhus or the devotees are already delivered from the clutches of material nature. Because they are already delivered, then when Krishna says, I come to deliver devotees, doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense. So then why Krishna appears? Then Prabhupada says, very nice thing he says, because the sadhus are the one who always carry Krishna in their heart. And because of their pure love, Krishna also carries them in their heart. The sadhus are the one who doesn't know anyone but Krishna. Similarly, Krishna says, I don't know anyone but the sadhus. Therefore, because these devotees are serving so nicely in the material world, Krishna descends just to reciprocate with their love. Otherwise, they have already delivered. There is no need to. And as far as the people who are trying to become devotees, there is another situation. But for devotees, the sadhus, they have already delivered. So, therefore, the devotee, he wants to satisfy the Lord out of his unalloyed love in so many different ways. The Lord also appears to satisfy his devotees. Therefore, this is something that is very mysterious, although Krishna says. So then, why does he kill? Why does he kill the miscreants? Then that question comes. So, today morning I was a little confused. This is a very topic where so many points are there, what to discuss and not discuss. I was a little confused. So Gauranga Prabhu just happened to see me for 5 minutes. And he told me at least 20 things to speak in the class. I can't remember all of them, but few of the points which really struck me from this 5 minutes conversation, I'll just try to put it here. He was saying, in Srimad Bhagavatam, if you see, in the fifth canto is called the Sthana. That canto basically describes the creation. And creation, Krishna, Sukhdev Goswami basically describes the entire, from Brahmalok down to the Patala, the heavenly planets, the hellish planets, this Jambudvip, all the places are described, very nicely described. And within that fifth canto also, it is described how various kings rule this particular tract of the land, called Bharatavarsha, or Jambudvip, and how the people worship the Lord. And here, in this canto, we will observe that how Krishna's taking care of devotees and in general the people or the living entities is like a government, basically. How does the government govern the country? The government is impartial to everyone. Right? In the sense, like the thief can also walk on the street, on the footpath, and a sadhu can also walk on the footpath. So the both facilities are given to both. But if the person misuses, then certain reactions come. So the whole governance of Krishna's system is described in the fifth canto. And therefore, just like here, if a person disobeys the laws, breaks the laws of the government, then there is jail. Similarly, if a person breaks the rules of the cosmic system, then there are hellish planets. Even systematically explained. And therefore, he is impartial, like government. there is no question of partiality, total impartial nature. So in that system, then everyone is totally, you know, helplessly put in the situation where their karma is everything basically. If they do good, they go to heavens. If they do bad, they have to either reform or they have to go to hellish planets. Nobody can avoid. And this is something that is very serious. People don't understand this laws of karma basically. People take it for granted. Like His Grace Chaitanya Charitamrita was saying that there is nothing in this world which is not governed by the laws. If you observe in this creation, whether it is the bird communities or animal communities or even the physical laws, non-living entities, whatever we see laws. And he was saying there are no laws, there would not have been any scientists. Because scientists means laws, they study the laws. So, how can we humans assume that we are not under any laws? We are always under the laws. And when we see that how people suffer in this world without a perceptible cause, then we understand. It is acting, reactions are coming. So therefore, when this hellish planet was described in the fifth canto, like Krishna is impartial, then people are suffering. So Parikshit Maharaj is very, disturbed. He says, you have described the path of liberation. Many people go. They go above, they go to heaven, they go to this and that, then they liberate. But then why these things have to happen? Why do people suffer? Krishna's impartiality is something, a torture actually. You know, it doesn't help people. It doesn't help people to come over the problems and get out of the world. They have to suffer. This disturbs Parikshit Maharaj. So then Sukadeva Goswami gives the sixth canto, which is called Poshana. Poshana means, so like government is like impersonal in nature, basically. So Krishna as a governor, as a government, chief, is what happens in fifth canto. But Krishna in home as a father is what happens in sixth canto. So he is a government, government chief is still a person in home. He is a father, mother. And the relationship with the children. And sometimes even if the children are not doing right because there is a relationship. Because there is another dynamics where there is a faith and love are involved. Where even if the child commits a mistake, the father is willing to forgive. Why? Because that faith and love is there, which is convincing the father he will overcome this problem. Therefore, he is extending himself out of the way. That is sixth canto. Therefore, in sixth canto, we see there are so many pastimes, like pastime of Ajamil, in pastime of Chitrakuta Maharaj, Vritrasur, same personality basically. Then the pastimes of Indra committing so many, he killed that priest, what's his name? Vishwarup, but still he survived. So many mistakes, devotees, Indra and all these personalities commit mistakes, but they are still helped to overcome. Ajamil committed a lot of sin, but he was a Brahmana who was worshipping the Lord so with so many systems previously, perfectly. But later he fell down. But because he was connected to Krishna somewhere or other, he was saved. That is portion. So in that canto, Sukadeva Goswami, actually, because Parikshit Maharaj asked these questions, how these people can be saved from the hellish situation, because Krishna's impartial nature doesn't help here. There he says initially that people should actually undergo penance before they leave their body. Otherwise, hellish planet is a must. So even if some mistakes are committed, one has to go through this penance or tapasya to annihilate that mistake or counteract that sin. If one doesn't go through that, then he has to go to hell. So this is something very serious actually. And but even if he does a mistake, but some other, if he is connected to the Lord, then the Lord takes care of it. Like Prabhupada says, Krishna says in Gita, the Sarvadharma Parityajya, that verse is there, that if you surrender to me, then I will take care of your sins. Now, if somebody says, why should I surrender to the Lord? This question comes sometimes. Normally in this world, surrender means people think that I'll be like sold out to that person and I cannot do anything, because they saw the gun and say surrender. That means you are totally sold out to that person. Whatever he says, you have to do. That is the concept of surrender in this world. So therefore, when you say surrender to Krishna, people get little scary. Not little scary, lot of fear is there. Lot of fear. How can I surrender to Krishna? But what Krishna offers in exchange, he says, I will take away all your sins. Normally in this world, if somebody says surrender to me, that means he wants to use you. Use us in a very, very exploitative way. That's why they demand surrender. But Krishna says, you surrender, I will take away all your sins. He also takes away something. But what he takes away? Takes our sins. Purifies us. And then you can experience Krishna's total mercy, full mercy. So when sixth canto, Sukadeva Goswami presents so many different cases describing how Krishna is partial as a father. And he takes away he protects his devotees again and again and again. Again in the Mahabharata war also, we have seen how Krishna protected Arjuna so many times. He protected from Karna's weapon. He pressed the rath, chariot down. And he killed, actually, he allowed Bhishma and Drona to be destroyed, although they are his devotees. Very strange. So in this way, why Krishna does so many things is very, very, bidambana, confusing. Chunti Maharani says that, bidambana. Because he appears to be like a human being. So when sixth canto, Sukadeva Goswami describes so many pastimes, describe how Krishna is partial, then Parikshit Maharaj again gets bewildered. So in the seventh canto he says, how can Krishna be partial? Fifth canto he was disturbed by the hellish planets. At the end of sixth canto he says, Krishna is supposed to be impartial. He says, Sama Priya Srut Brahman Bhutanam Bhagavan Swayam Indra Syarthe Katham Daitan Avadhi Visamo Yatha. That in Indrasyarthe, for the sake of Indra, he is killing Dhritarashtra. To protect Indra, he killed Dhritarashtra, although he was a devotee. He born as a demon, but in the heart, that's another story. But basically, he killed the Asuras. So, he should be Sama Priya Surat Brahman. Brahman is Sama to everyone, equal to everyone. He should be Priya to everyone. He should be friend to everyone. Bhutanam Bhagavan Swayam. But why he favored Indra so many times? So this again confused Parikshit Maharaj, and he was asking these questions, putting forward in a very humble way. And Sukadeva Goswami immediately appreciates. He says, because you are asking question in relation to Krishna, therefore this is glorious. Why he says this particular point at this point? Because the answers will tell how, like in the beginning also, see how if someone is exposed to Krishna, Krishna's mercy, he will be benefited. Therefore, the question about Krishna is also great because it allows people to get exposed to Krishna and his mercy. So therefore, here, while answering question of Parikshit Maharaj, Sukadeva Goswami quotes Yudhishthira Maharaj. Because after the war, there was a Rajasya Yajna. And in that sacrifice, after that sacrifice, Yudhishthira Maharaj is supposed to be enthroned. And he was enthroned actually. But during that sacrifice, Krishna killed Shishupal. Because he constantly blasphemed Krishna non-stop out of his envy. Krishna gave one benediction, one kind of vow to Shishupal's mother, that he can blaspheme me, I will tolerate. But he blasphemes for 100 times continuously without break, then I will kill him, I will finish him. Because that is not good for him. You know, envy of Krishna is not good for ourselves, any living entity. So in this situation, when Shishupal saw Krishna is worshipped like a king, because everybody understood Krishna's supreme position as the Supreme Lord. So everyone, the sages, all the Kshatriyas like Yudhishthira Maharaj, unanimously agreed that Krishna should be worshipped as the Supreme Person. And he was worshipped like a king actually. And this was something not tolerated by Shishupal. He started blaspheming so many, you know, envious. He is a coward boy, why are you worshipping like this and that? So many things he said, non-stop. And it crossed 99, reached 100. Then Krishna finished him. But Krishna finished him such a way, he used that Sudarshan Chakra. He finished him such a way, not a drop of blood fell on the ground. And nowadays, I heard they do this surgery in a hospital. Those who are from this background, they know. To cut the body while doing surgery, they are using laser nowadays. Laser rays. Because the laser rays, there is no bloodshed. Because it burns and just passes through. There is no bloodshed. So you save some blood in the patient. So Krishna Sudarshan Chakra did that like that. He cut, you know, Shishupal's neck, but there was not a single blood drop fell. It was, because that way it would be honest, inauspicious. You have to wash with Ganga water, so many things would happen. To help the managers basically. It was performed in such a perfect way. But then, everyone saw that the soul from that body, Shishupal basically, Shishupal was the body, the soul was actually Jaya Vijay. The soul came out of Shishupal's body and merged in Krishna's body. Everyone saw that. So that is how Jaya Mukti. So Yudhishthira Maharaj was bewildered. He said, how can someone who is so envious, so inimical, got liberation? Whereas that the yogis are doing so much of tapasya, going to forest and not eating this, not, you know, breathing once a while, not drinking water. So much of tapasya they do, and they don't get this liberation. They fell down once, you know, now and then. It's so difficult. But this guy was so inimical towards you, so envious of you, and he got liberation. So here, like, we ask, like those who are non-devotees, they ask, Krishna is partial to devotees. Now here is devotees is thinking how Krishna is so delicious, you know, so merciful that somebody who is not deserving any mercy is giving mercy to him. It's like reverse situation. It's a total reverse situation. So he's saying that why did you deliver him? But he didn't ask Krishna at that point. He turned to Narada Muni, who was like in the assembly. So he was asking, you know, going to Narada Muni asking, what is this? How this can happen? Please tell me, please explain me. How this could happen? And Narada Muni is answering his question. And everyone actually hearing. He asked very openly to Narada Muni because he wanted everyone to be benefited out of this. So, in one sense, Krishna is Samaham Sarvabhutesu Namedusyas Tinapriya, Krishna says in Gita. So, this Shishupal who was speaking so much of envious word out of envy, and this envy is basically a feature of this world, a material world. Envy is not there in the spiritual world. Shridama Prabhu says, envy means no vacation. Envy. So if one is envious, they don't have any place in the spiritual world. There is no vacation for them. No, you know, all seats are occupied. But therefore one has to come out of envy. Anyway, but this envy is a feature of this world. So, because of envy we entered into this world. That is the seed. Iccha dvesa samuthena dvanda mahena bharata. Krishna says in Gita that because of envy one falls into the duality of this world. Dvanda. Good, bad, enemy, friend. All these conceptions come because the seed is envy. And it is explained that envy is actually is the cause of all other anarthas like lust, greed, anger, illusion. All these anarthas are generated, they kind of burn, take birth from envy. How is it so? Because in this world, as soon as we become envious of Krishna, we want our own thing. Isn't it? Because we are envious of Krishna, Krishna is enjoying a certain way, we don't want that, we want it for ourselves. Therefore immediately the concepts of I, me and mine comes. I, me, mine, this conception comes as soon as a person becomes envious of Krishna. Therefore he enters into this world. And what is the meaning of I, me and mine? It means lust basically. I want to enjoy separately. I want to have my own things. And therefore the lust is there, I want to have it. After having it, I want to have more and more and more. That is greed. Then there is fear, anger, fear of loss, angry when we don't get it. Right? So, in this way, the living entities fall into the trap of these dualities. And in that dualities, there is conception of enemy and friendship. But Krishna, because he is beyond the modes of material natures, Trigunatit, for him, there is no conception like enemy and friend. Envy or love and affection of this world is something cannot touch him, cannot appeal to him. It doesn't appeal to him. Therefore, this Sisupal's envy, so-called envy, something is not disturbing to Krishna. But what is happening in the meantime, he is meditating on Krishna constantly, like Kamsa. So therefore, because there is a touch of Krishna, therefore he was delivered. He got the mercy. So in this way, because our life is totally entrapped in this nature of material world, which is the basis is envy. So when Krishna says, "I am not envious or I am not favoring anybody," we sometimes imagine how can somebody be like that? How can somebody not have envy? Because this is our way of thinking. So in this way, Narada Muni actually explains that Krishna is not affected by the envy or love of this material world basically. But then still, some say, Prabhupada explains, so therefore Krishna, one still asks, why he kills? Okay, he wants to give some mercy. So let him give it nicely. Why he kills them? This is something disturbing. Mr. Prabhupada explains very nicely. He says, sometimes a mother may punish a child by slapping. Right? Sometimes, at least in our childhood it used to happen. Nowadays it doesn't happen much. It's very strange. I remember many instances getting, slapped. Why I remember? Because they were directed for my good. Otherwise I would have forgotten. If it were not for my good sake, I would have forgotten basically. Or I would have remembered with a kind of revenge and things like that. But when I remember about the punishment we received in childhood, even in, not only in the family, what to speak of family, mother, father, even in school, the teacher would beat. And after getting beaten by teacher, we have no courage to tell our parents we got beaten up. Because if you say like that, then they would ask what you did. Some more would come. So therefore, okay, that is also for our good. Because they would do it like that. But what is happening, especially in the West, because of mode of ignorance basically, because the people are so much intoxicated, especially, people that are having children, parents having children, but they are addicted to so many kind of drugs and so many kind of lusty desires, lusty affairs. They don't have any real love for the children. Because there is no love, sometimes they think children is an obstacle to their enjoyment. And in that frustration, they beat the children very badly. It happens in America. And therefore, there are strict rules in America, that any child abuses their police will be there. They don't understand that this kind of, locally or in the family to resolve situation and rectify and allow a child to grow in a very nice way is something very, very, very risky in America. So, as a, like carpet law, that no child can be beaten in the house. Therefore, Indian parents in America have a big tough time to control their children. Many times the Gauranga Prabhu tells us in our meetings that how one parents were there. So when they landed here in India, in Bombay, the child did some kind of demands. This father said beating. He said, "I'll call the cop. It's in India now. Nothing will happen. Nobody can save you." So like that. Anyway, but the point is, Prabhupada is saying that slap was meant to rectify. It is out of love. So even if Krishna kills, in that killing he is basically removing all the bad thing that is not favorable for him to love Krishna. He removes everything. That body has to go. In the same way, Krishna, that example Prabhupada gives, that how Krishna saved basically Putana. All the sick came with a very, very dirty desire to kill. This is such a small, tiny baby Krishna. This is such a beautiful form. But the heart was filled with so much of, dangerous plan to destroy Krishna. But because Krishna sucked the milk, therefore he thought, "She is like my mother." And he gives her a position of dhatri, that is mother in the spiritual world. So seeing this favor, even this was discussed by Uddhava and Vidura, that remembering Krishna's glory, this is after Krishna depart basically from this world, he closes his pastime. Then Vidura and Uddhava, they are discussing the glories of Krishna, and they were saying, they are discussing, whom else can we worship but Krishna, who is so merciful. So although he is impartial, he is partial to devotees, and sometimes his partiality is also extended to those who think of him constantly. So therefore Narada Muni says, Yudhishthira Maharaj, that somehow or other if one thinks of Krishna, whatever way it may be out of lust, it may be out of greed, it may be out of fear, or it may be out of fear, anxiety, it may be out of enmity towards Krishna, whatever it may be, that person will be delivered. Krishna will favor them. Because the dualities of this world is not something that Krishna's affair, is beyond this. He comes to give the mercy basically. So anyone who comes in contact, he receives it. So then Narada Muni actually says, those who are envious and inimical towards Krishna, their meditation to Krishna is much better than devotees. He concludes like that section. Srila Prabhupada of course gives a very nice purport. He says this is Narada Muni's humility. That all the Kamsa is constantly thinking of Krishna because he is his enemy. He thought Krishna to be his enemy. And he was in his dream, while he's waking, every time, every minute, every second, he's constantly meditating how to kill Krishna. He's constantly thinking. And Narada Muni is saying, see, this person is so great, he could think of Krishna so steadily, so constantly, without any cessation. This is really great. And he was thinking, but I'm not able to think like that. I'm not able to think of Krishna like that. So he was taking a humble position, that how these people are better because they can think of Krishna. But of course we understand that thinking of Krishna in enmity is not a good deal. Now in this world, again coming back to this our situation in the material world, where envy, lust, greed is the natural trait of living entities, right? It's a natural trait. It's like something default. So therefore, to become envious, to become lusty, to become greedy is no big deal. And if one is going in that direction, meditating Krishna, it is natural, therefore it is intense. But those devotees who are coming, trying to coming, fighting the envious nature, trying the lusty desires, trying to fight all these anarthas, and trying to serve in Krishna in a favorable way, that is definitely going to be tough. And personally, like Narada Muni, who has actually overcome all these anarthas and serving Krishna constantly, how glorious they are. They are much better, they are the best. So therefore, we should not think that we have to, Prabhupada wants, like we have to think of Krishna in an envious way, or you know, inimical way, or out of fear, thinking of God out of fear. These are not favorable ways. So Rupa Goswami says that the pure devotional service is anukulyana Krishnanu silanam bhakti ruttama. Anya vilashita shunyam jnana karma navratam anukulyana Krishnanu bhakti anukulyana sevanam bhakti ruchyate. Like this is the best pure devotional services, like to serve Krishna in a favorable way, that which is pleasing to Krishna. So therefore, the devotees, they always try to overcome these anarthas. They don't want to, they want to clear this this envious nature, this lusty nature, they want to clear it and serve Krishna in a very, very pure and nice way that is pleasing to Krishna. So on the other hand, the results like this, those who, like Shishupal and all, they got Sahija Mukti. And Mukti is something very not very nice. Devotees don't aspire for Mukti. They aspire pure devotional service. So the Putana, although she was inimical, but she had some little desire in her heart to serve Krishna. And because that desire was there, therefore she got a superior position than Shishupal. She got a service of mother. Similarly, those who render service to Krishna in a favorable way, they will attain position which is much more superior than those who think of Krishna in an inimical way, or envious way, or out of fear. So therefore, although Krishna is not at all, Krishna is impersonal in the beginning, but he is actually in the end, we see his parcel to everyone, to devotees, even his parcel towards people like Shishupal, who are like envious, he delivered them. So, but to devotees, to pure devotees, he is definitely proposes, undoubtedly he is very, very favorable. Why? Because they are favorably disposed towards Krishna. So, to the non-devotees, those who are inimical, envious, Krishna actually destroys them fully. Although he gives them liberation. But to devotees, he don't destroy. He nourishes, protects, like in 6th canto we see, all these persons like Indra committed mistakes. In the 10th canto also, Gauranga Prabhu gives this example always, that Indra actually tried to destroy the entire Vrindavan. The demons sent by Kamsa would come to kill only Krishna and Balaram. Max, main target was Krishna. But Indra was trying to destroy the entire Vrindavan, entire Brajavasis. So therefore, his offense is too much compared to these demons. But he was not killed. He is allowed to leave and enter service. Because already in the service, Krishna just clarified the problem. The pride that came, Krishna crushed that and allowed him to grow. Because he was already growing. He was already in a positive track. Didn't disturb. Whereas those who are inimicals, they are destroyed by Krishna. But in the sense, we may see it as a destruction, but actually he is giving a mercy. He is putting for mercy. So in the same way, we see how Krishna's devotees are also very impartial. Very nice drama performed. Devotees. Personally, I don't know them, but they did a very nice display of drama. Vardaraj, Kanchipurna, and one other devotee, how this devotees and service to devotees is actually superior. Krishna is willing to give even more mercy to the one who serves his devotees. Right? So Srila Prabhupada, out of his causeless, compassionate nature, mercy, he created this ISKCON so that people in general can interact with devotees. Serve the deity, serve the Lord, and also serve the devotees. Devotee also don't discriminate. Like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says that this mercy Krishna Prem which is brought is actually for everyone. Nadeki sthana sthan, patra patra nadeki nadeki sthana sthan. Whether one is qualified or unqualified, or whether one is from India or from America, from any other place, sthana sthan, any place, anyone give this mercy. And Srila Prabhupada actually carried this message to America. And he gave it to everyone. American, white, or black, or yellow, or whatever it is. Everyone he gave. Srila Bhaktivinoda Swami was actually explaining that how Prabhupada is such a great acharya. He was actually attached to some, he was looking for a guru, and he approached one impersonalist in America, Indian Swami, or probably American, a mystic person. He said, "No, I will not give you initiation. Your guru is the leader of Hare Krishna movement." He told him like that. So he didn't took it seriously at that point. But understanding that this person is not ordinary, he is speaking some kind of prophecy, he just waited. When time actually came, he saw actually Prabhupada, and the whole thing happened and took initiation. Later this person comes and he takes initiation from Bhaktivinoda Swami, the original person to whom he approached for Diksha. So by that he was saying everybody should cooperate this Swami who is coming to America. This leader of Hare Krishna movement. Everyone should cooperate because he is sent by the Supreme Lord. He was saying. So Prabhupada actually distributed the mercy without any discrimination. Everyone. And his disciples, by his association, they got this inspiration from Prabhupada. And under his guidance and instruction, they also distributed this mercy all over the world. And it is the devotees of Srila Prabhupada, the disciples of Srila Prabhupada, who actually made Hare Krishna, made Krishna's mercy available all over the world. At a very, very easily people can access it. There are centers all over, temple all over. It is easily one can access, provided one opens his eyes and heart. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement. So one such devotee was Ananta Shanti Prabhu. We have just recently heard this sad news that he left this world. Ananta Shanti Prabhu is actually the only disciple of Prabhupada in Russia. Russia means the previous USSR. This is a communist regime country where difficult to practice religious activities. So we can see during the Cold War, like during the 70s and 80s, especially the 70s, Russia, USSR and America were like two anti-poles. There were severe differences in their way of thinking, and they both want to rule the world in different ways. The thick enmity among the governments, even amongst the people. The people also, the Russians would hate Americans, Americans would hate the Russian. But during that time, disciples of Srila Prabhupada, like Bhaktivinoda Swami, Nirjan Swami, these are American people. They went to Russia and gave the message that Prabhupada brought to America. How much impetus, just can you imagine, at the risk of their very life. Many times they felt, they experienced death threats. And before these disciples of Prabhupada from America go to Russia, Prabhupada went to Russia to Moscow for 4 days. And during that 4 days, Prabhupada met one Russian boy and initiated him. And his name is Ananta Shanti Prabhu. Russia was not in a good state those days. You know, Prabhupada said, even to get a bread, they have to stand in queue for a half hour, 40 minutes like that, just to get bread, to buy things, groceries. So people are inside, they're not happy. And he is giving the name Ananta Shanti to this particular devotee, because he has come in contact with Krishna now, Prabhupada. Prabhupada gave him contact with Krishna. Gauranga was also telling today morning a very nice point, that this world is all miseries all over. Only when one comes in contact with Krishna, he is happy, he or she is happy. Otherwise, there is miseries all over. So therefore, during this name-giving ceremony of Krishna, Rohini, Mother Rohini, was wearing beautiful clothes and wearing beautiful jewelries. All this, she was away from her husband. That is a miserable situation, because Vasudeva was in jail. How can she enjoy? How can she wear nice dresses and enjoy? But because the celebration was connected to Krishna, therefore she could. And it was something that is real, you know, happiness in beyond these modes, basically. So Prabhupada gave his name Ananta Shanti Prabhu and taught him everything. How to prepare prasadam, how to cook, how to offer, what to eat, what not to eat, how to chant, how to preach. Everything he taught him in 4 days. A crash course. It was a real crash course. Bhakti crash course. And so much inspired he was. Prabhupada was such an inspiring, great saint, that he started preaching in Russia single-handedly and met many devotees, and they became groups, and these groups started preaching further groups, and then all these, you know, Prabhupada disciples from America came and started preaching underground to all these devotees. But he's the one who started, and it became so serious that government of Russia noticed it. That is a success, actually. You know, this is a success because, you know, the government took it seriously. And there are many people who became devotee because they thought KGB is taking it seriously, that means it has to be something great. They became devotees. So that also helped, you know, indirect way. And not only that, those agents of KGB who would, you know, study and follow them up and take the books to read, they started becoming devotees. So this, you know, really scared the entire government. They arrested him in 1982. They arrested him. They started torturing him in so many different ways, telling him, you have to just do one thing, just forget Krishna, will leave you. But how much he was attached to Prabhupada and Krishna, there was no question that he would say no. And therefore they kept torturing, giving some, you know, psychic medicines and this and that, so much of torture. He lost his control, he was in delirium for practically a decade. Then because of various government pressure on human rights and all, he was released. But because he came out in such a way that he was not in a good state, that his mind, body was completely, you know, disarrayed, so he was not able to practice Krishna consciousness because of such, you know, difficult situation. But then, because the heart is for Krishna, gradually the situation changed. He revived himself and came back in contact with devotees. And they were chanting and doing kirtan with devotees, came in contact with them, and finally, last week, he left this world. But his service to Prabhupada, his, you know, his, like, impartiality, the way he served, tried to give Krishna's love to all, is something that is very, very significant and goes into history. Is this Ananda Shanti Prabhu ki jai ho. So I am very, very, very grateful to all of you, and basically for me to sit and speak here is also mercy. It's like impartial mercy to me, to all the devotees, and because otherwise I have been sitting in the audience and hearing these classes for so many, you know, getting the mercy for so many years and nurtured like that. So it is an honor and causeless mercy to sit and speak and glorify Krishna and Prabhupada and his disciples. So I thank all of you. హరే కృష్ణ. శ్రీ ప్రభుపాదకి